Welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the direction in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. I'd like to welcome Nicole S., a compulsive overeater from Colorado. Welcome, Nicole.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It is always just an honor and a privilege to share my story. So thank you so much. Like I was introduced, I'm Nicole S. and I live in Colorado. And I'm just going to kind of briefly go into what it used to be like. And I did not have, I was not an overweight kid, and I did not have eating problems when I was a kid. They developed more late in my later teenage years. I really relate on page 21 when it talks about the real alcoholic. Once I started, I lost all control, and that was completely me. I kind of just part of my history as a teenager, coming from a broken home, and I reached to drugs and alcohol, and it was just kind of the 150% forward in that kind of with those. And then just part of my just th- this is part of my story. When I was 16, just a really lost, broken teenager, drug and alcohol problems, and I came to know Jesus Christ as my savior, and just had a profound spiritual experience, and I was able to give up the drugs and alcohol, and it was just amazing. After the quitting the drugs, though, I started gaining weight, and then I started just substituting the food, and I didn't really pay much attention to it. And at first, because, I never really got that overweight, but I definitely had gained weight, and, people noticed it a little bit. Just typically I didn't really think about what I would be eating. Sometimes I would eat thirds on, dinner, because it was really good. But I definitely started gaining weight. And my top weight was my first year of college, and it's about 40 pounds more than what I weigh today. Like I said, though, I just didn't really think much about it. I was getting a little unhappy with how I was looking, not as thin as I used to be, and, kind of tried certain diets, tried to kind of, manage it. And for a while it really worked. And then when I was a young adult, I became the healthy eater, and back then it was the low fat diet. And even if something had 3 grams of fat in it, I was just completely paranoid about it and wouldn't even eat it. So I started this low fat diet. And, as can we mention specific foods in okay. As we know, sugar doesn't have any fat in it. So sugary things, that was low fat. Like the McDonald's, they had the frozen yogurt, and like, well, yogurt's healthy, and it's low fat, so it's healthy. So with that, becoming a healthy eater, I really started restricting that fat. And I've learned, since then, especially being on working with the dietitian, that, our bodies really need fat. And when we starve it, it's not healthy for us. That, I think, is what kind of led to the binging. The binging just started out as this is a progressive illness, permanent, progressive, fatal, and the binging just started out just a little bit, just kind of a little bit eating, a lot here and there. And then I'd, the next day I just wouldn't, I'd do without a meal, or I'd, just do less. And, that worked out for, for a while, like anything, till it didn't work. And then it just progressed and progressed till I was just binging out of control. And that double whammy, my mind, I couldn't stop from starting. And once I started, I couldn't control, the amounts I was going to eat. And so kind of fast forward through college, I got engaged, I've been married for to an awesome man for it'll be 29 years, I think, this spring. And during that time I was still that healthy eater, and that's what I put on the outside. But I would just these binges would get so bad. And so I started purging, and honestly, the purging didn't start for me in the sense of like, I can't believe what I ate. I'm going to get rid of it all so I don't gain weight. I just felt so horrible physically. I mean, it just hurt. And the purging just gave some relief physically. It made me, feel a little bit better. And that, like anything, that progressed also. And there was even times when I just binged, purged, and then binged and then purged again, in the same night. And it just really started getting out of control. And I just have a few stories that I want to share about my overeating. One of them is I was kind of, as my disease was starting to progress a little bit, I went to a work party, Christmas party in college, and they had all these goodies, and they sent a big plate of goodies home with everybody. And so I was sitting in my college dorm, my roommate was gone, and I was sitting there in the dark all by myself, and I started eating, those goodies. And pretty soon I ate the whole plate full. I mean, this was a week's probably for a normal person, it was probably at least a week amount of goodies, all by myself in there, and just could not stop. Another time is when I was vomiting. I actually choked on my vomit, and it really scared me, to the point where I thought I'm choking, and I thought I was going to have to, go to the ho I thought I was I might die from it. But like anything, that didn't scare me enough to, to be able to put it down, because lack of power is my dilemma. And the last story that I want to share, that I want to remember this the rest of my life. This was my rock bottom. My son was 1 year old, 1 years old, and he saw me throwing up, and it was awful. It was horrifying. And that just made me realize that, wow, I am really sick. I'm barren and I can't have kids. And so he was a miracle. And I knew then, I'm like, I'm going to pull the curtain down on my world, and everything I, wanted so desperately, I'm going to ruin. So now I'm going to kind of go to what happened. So before that incident with my son, I had already been in OA for a while. I actually started OA in 2001, and the associate pastor of our church was in OA, and he gave me a newcomer's packet, and I read through just voraciously everything in that newcomer's packet, and I'm like, this is me. This is so for me. And so I went to my first meeting, and it was a wonderful meeting, and I'm so grateful for it. It got me my start, and I really made friends in there, and I really connected. There was no recovery in it. I worked the steps through the OA workbook back then. I worked them on my own because sponsors didn't sponsor. There was nobody that would take you through the steps. And I did have a sponsor, and she just told me to call her when I wanted to eat, and she would tell me to do the dishes. So, and she would also say, part of my problem was quantities, and I would eat a whole meal before while I was cooking dinner, and then eat another whole meal, and then I'd eat a whole other meal while I was putting dinner away. And she says, just get a big bowl of vegetables, and snack on that while you're fixing dinner, and it will keep you from eating the bad stuff, So of course I got the starchy vegetables, and I'd eat the, 8 servings during that time. So like I said, wonderful people and really well-meaning people, and I did get a great start, and I'm so grateful for that time. But yeah, no recovery. And so I moved from that place and where we live now a little over 20 years ago, and I moved here. I didn't have a meeting. We had a really I think we had dial-up internet too, and it was really spotty. It wasn't that great. And I was trying to do some online meetings, and I was just kind of struggling. So I was never abstinent to begin with, but had my form of abstinence, that had worked for, that 3 years that I did have a meeting. But anyway, I slowly just started going back into the food, and then it started, the binges again, and then it started the purging again. So that's kind of where I ended up in about 2008. And in 2008, I did a branch of OA that was very structured, really used the tools. And I did that for 5 years. And that's where I first became recovered. I got a food plan from a dietitian who I still work with today. I got a sponsor who I talk to every day. I went through the steps, and it was wonderful. Really got me on that start. Thankfully, this program was really great for 5 years. And then if any of you have listened to the Vision for You meeting, that meeting had started, and from the beginning, the program that I was doing, excuse me, people from my meeting were listening to the Vision for You. So I would occasionally listen to the meeting, and I just love the focus on the big book. I'm a very black and white person, and I just want very clear-cut directions. So that really connected with me. So I decided it was really scary for me. I decided to leave the program that I was working and just find a Vision for You sponsor. And I never lost my abstinence, thank God. And I just wanted to work the steps, solely in the big book. So that's kind of where I got my start. It's still, I have to do a double take when I say this, but I've been recovered and abstinent since 2008. And that is just, it is a miracle, because when I first started this program, people would share that they had a year of abstinence, and I really was convinced they were lying, because I thought it's just not possible. And I thought, I'm just going to resign to it's going to be better than what it was. And that was as good as it was ever going to get for someone like me, because I didn't have any hope that it could be better. But I'm living proof of that, and it is a miracle. What it's like now, I have just this fellowship, and it's a wonderful fellowship, and I have made, I have just made true friends in this fellowship. And I don't have a lot of friends where I live. I don't have a face-to-face meeting. I live in a really small town. But I have become really close with some people in program that I've been talking to for years and years. And it's amazing. It's really just having true friends, having people who help me on my journey, having people who understand my illness, and can support me. And like I said, my abstinence since 2008, it's just nothing short of a miracle. And I think for the longest time, For me, I had to get on a weighed and measured food plan because I just will eat quantities of food, and I don't know when to stop. And then when I would overeat, that would trigger wanting to eat more. So a normal person, when they overeat and they're full, they'll stop, but that would trigger the eating more and more. So for me, the weighing and measuring my food was something, profound that I have to do. And I used to think, I'm like, that's way too far. That's just crazy. Why would anybody do that? I don't need to do that. But it's one of the things that has really freed me from the obsession. And it's something that now there's a few occasions I don't weigh and measure my food, and I don't like it. I just like the comfort of that. But there's been times where I've looked at it, I'm like, well, I'm weighing and measuring my food, so surely, it's me doing this. That's why I'm recovered. And I have to remind myself, no, it's not. It's a miracle from God, and it's because I have a spiritual problem, and God is my spiritual solution. So it's a miracle, and I can't forget that, because as soon as I think that I'm doing, and of course I have to do my part, but I'm not the one giving myself this miracle. The promises from page 71 to 72 says, faith did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from him. And that's been such a great promise for me, because it's my self-will. That's what's blocking me. The food was not the problem. The food was the solution. God can remove that self-will, and I have to work on it every single day. My self-will is so strong. And then on page 87, it says, I am in much less danger of fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. I am more efficient. I tire less, from 87 to 88. And that's another miracle for me too, because I used to, the program where I first got recovered in a way, it would say that they would say that I can't make any good food decisions on my own, so I need a sponsor to make them all for me. And my husband asked me one time, said, well, if your sponsor's in the same boat as you are and they can't make food decisions, why are they making your decisions? And one of the reasons I decided not to do that program anymore is I thought, I need somebody higher than a sponsor, because if I'm only accountable, sponsors are great. Don't get me wrong, and I love having a sponsor. But I need a higher level of accountability than a sponsor. And I realize if I don't have that, I'm not gonna last. And when I have that clarity, when I'm not in the food, and I can pray about it, and I can ask God, what does he want for me? Thy will, not mine. He can give me the clarity and the what I need. So then I don't have to, just keep making these foolish decisions. And obviously I still make foolish decisions. I'm human, but I become more efficient with time, and that has really come true for me. So I have to work my program every single day. And it is hard work, and I don't ever want to come across, especially to newcomers, that oh yeah, this is just an easy program. It's not. It's hard work. It takes time. It takes effort. But it's so worth it. This program has really, it's given me my life back. That to me is worth anything, that any amount of time and effort that it takes. And I've realized, for so long, the food was the easier, softer way, or so I thought. This program truly is the easier, softer way, to get out of that being in the food. And it was just horrible. The mental anguish, it would take me 30 hours. I timed it one time to start to feel better after a binge and purge. That's over a full day where I just felt bad physically. This really is the easier, softer way. It says on page 88, there's action and more action. And then it says, we trudge the road of happy destiny. And I love that from A Vision for You chapter, because trudging for me, I'm sure a lot of you in Canada have beautiful mountains there, and where I live, we've got a lot of 14,000 foot mountains, and they're a trudge to hike up. It's not easy, but that trudging, really what it is, it's that road to that happy destiny. So it's just worth it, whatever it takes. And I remind myself sometimes when I'm just get frustrated because I'm, packing up my lunch again, and I've got to get that packed, and I'm rushing, and I need to go. And I'm like, no, this isn't, anything worthwhile is not, it's not easy. The worthwhile things in life are hard. I have to remind myself of that, and it's so worth it. So what I have to do to stay recovered, because fairly recently in the last couple of years, I remember hearing from a longtime member who has over 20 years of abstinence that our illness, it's permanent, it's progressive, and it's fatal. And that progressive, and he said, it's progressive whether you're abstinent or not. And I'm like, oh, so my disease is still progressing, and I can't rest on my laurels. I'm headed for trouble if I do. Like I shared earlier, I do have to do a weighed and measured food plan. And I have to abstain 100% from foods and behaviors. And that's hard. That was difficult identifying what those are. And thank goodness, I had sponsors help me and work through that, but I have to 100% abstain from those foods and those specific foods and specific ingredients, and also those behaviors that I know are problematic for me. And I need to connect with other fellows in program. I need to make phone calls. And please, anybody, write down my phone number. I don't know if I have Canada long distance, but I do have WhatsApp. So please, because I really need fellowship, and I really need those phone calls. I really need to stay in the solution. So I ideally, I try to make at least 3 phone calls a day. I don't do that perfectly every day. I really don't, but the more calls I make with fellows in this program, it's just that the more I can stay in that recovery, and the more I can talk about recovery and learn what other people are doing. And I have found that I've never been faced with any problem that I haven't eventually found somebody who's going through the same thing and can offer some hope, can offer what they did to help them with it. So it's amazing, this fellowship, and it's amazing just even now that we're all on this meeting, this technology, and it's a wonderful thing. And as far as meetings too, I do have a home meeting, I try to listen to other healthy meetings, and usually I do podcasts and playbacks. That's most of the time. I try to listen. I attend my live meeting, and or it's a Zoom meeting, but and then I try to listen to phone meetings, and once a week I try to listen to Vision for You live. And if I can share on that one, also I try to do that. But I need to carry the message, but I also need to have healthy meetings also, where I can find other healthy members where I'm hearing the message. And then giving service, that's in the big book, it is just such a focus on service. And it's not a if. It's we have to give service if we want to keep what we have. And I need to sponsor, and I need to give service every single day, where I can. And On page 19, it says, "We feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupation, and affairs." And as far as giving service, also, I think it's so important for me to give service in my meetings and in my fellowship and sponsoring, but it's also for me where the rubber meets the road is in my home. And I can't say that I'm a recovered woman if I'm being nasty in my home, if I'm not carrying these principles in my life. It's honestly really easy for me to be really sweet on the phone and then snap at my husband or my son. So that's an area I have to constantly look at. And even after sometimes as far as giving service, many times it's just
5
right in front of
minutes,
me. What
that's
can I do
all.
right here in my house? Okay, thank you so much. And another thing I have to do every day is 10th and 11th step. And the 10th step for me is kind of that spot check inventory. I'm disturbed. Sometimes I can pray about it and kind of go through my part and God will remove it. I would say most of the time though, I either text it to my sponsor, I talk to another member about it. There's ones I know I need to call somebody on the phone. And I always encourage people if you're when you start that 10th step, if you talk to 10 people about how they do it, you're going to get 10 different opinions and find what works for you. I feel the only wrong way to do a 10th step is to not do it. And that's been so important for me. That's the 10th step has really revolutionized my program. And then the 11th step, that's keeping the 10th and 11th step is keeping me unblocked from God. It's helping me look at what was my part here. I do send a nightly 11th step to my sponsor. And it's been really transforming again for me because I look at that review and I also look at like, what did I do? What did I do good today? What have I done well? Not only looking at what do I need to change, what do I need to improve on? But that's been very, very helpful for me to just daily do those 10th and 11th steps. And things come up, they need to be addressed. And last thing I want to share is another miracle in this program is I can actually make goodies for my husband and son, and it just doesn't even bother me. And this is just me. I know people who have been recovered much longer than I have, and they can't do that. But for me, I can, and it just I don't even want it. And it gives me pleasure that they like it and that I can do something nice for them. And I see I can go to events. I just went to a service thing where we served a meal too. It was a father-daughter dance. And they were serving chicken nuggets and fries. And I took my own dinner, and it's okay. There's and it's I don't feel I didn't feel left out. I didn't feel like I needed to eat that food, and I didn't feel at all. And that's a miracle because, and that took me a long time to get to that point. But with that, I'm going to go ahead and pass. And I once again, thank you so much for letting me share tonight.